Well, please pray for me as we go through our service this morning. And I chose our opening scripture this morning, or call to worship, purposely, because I feel that what the topic that is on my heart for us to really grasp hold of is substantiated by this. I want to read this again, and I want you to consider the following. There's two statements that are made in this passage, and there's also commands that are given. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So there are two statements. All authority has been given to me, Jesus said, in heaven and in earth. And the other statement is that he is with us always. So what more do we need to conduct our life by than the authority that we find in the words of Jesus Christ? And see, he gave commands to the disciples, but this talks to God's people also. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." Teaching all things. You see, there is responsibility here in this statement that we find for all believers. It's not just for a preacher. We're all disciples of the Lord. So each and every day that we are given, these commands should be part of our daily, call it repertoire, or part of our daily schedule. We need to be talking about Christ. We need to be talking about the good things of God, about his attributes. And it raised a question of who Jesus is. Now, he's our Lord and Savior. We know that. We know what he's done. But if you were going to define to somebody else who Jesus Christ is, I want to share a topic with you, a passage with you that I think defines this very well. And it really should be a marker verse in your Bible, I think. It's found in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. If you have your Bibles, I want to encourage you to mark this in your Bible so you can turn to it often. Now, after this, we're going to be spending the majority of our time today in the Gospel of John. And folks, I want to encourage you, if you have your Bibles or a tablet or a phone or whatever, to follow along. It's great that we have it on the PowerPoint, but sometimes it just feels good to smell that book and to turn those pages. So in Colossians here, we find a description that the Apostle Paul is giving to the church in Colossia. But I want you to think about already. See, Paul is following the commands that we just read in our opening scripture, isn't he? Go and teach. Go and make disciples in all nations. Paul is doing this. Folks, we have this same obligation as well. And this is what he's teaching to the church of Colossia about who Jesus Christ is. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things that he may have preeminence. And I want to just ask quickly, does he have preeminence in your life? For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, or having made peace through the blood of his cross. You see, folks, Paul is telling us here that Jesus Christ is the most important thing in our lives. And really, if you kind of summarize his statement, Jesus said the same words himself, that me and my Father, or my Father and I, are one. Because here we're reading about the attributes of God. What did Jesus say in our opening scripture? Go and baptize him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And we believe that the three are in one. And yes, Jesus, the Father dwelled in Jesus. He is a living embodiment of God the Father. Are we teaching that to other people? That Jesus is preeminent. That He comes before all things. And that through Him, all things are. What hope do we have? It comes from Jesus Christ. And folks, every day that we're given, you know, we have troubles, we have struggles, we have responsibilities, we have ups and downs. That's the nature of this life. But every day that we are blessed to wake up, to be vertical, to draw breath, we need to be praising God. Because He has given you the day, and you have the faith within you, so He empowers you to face the day, to face those struggles. And yes, they may be hard sometimes, but think of the good times and the blessings too. So you have that ability to face that day. And you have that ability to shape and mold somebody else, especially if you're a parent or if you're around younger children. But even people, our peers, our own age group and the ones even older. Your faith, your testimony, your daily life is a living testimony of Jesus Christ. So when we wake up with the right mental outlook and attitude and perspective, we have something to be thankful about and to praise God for. Because we make these choices. So today, when we think about this description that we just read of who Jesus Christ is, and of His own words, that all authority has been given to me, that means He has authority in our lives. And He gave us those two commands. To teach all things that I have commanded you. Everybody in this church have been faithful followers all your life. You have been taught. You know what the Bible says. Now, none of us know it all. That's why we come to church, is to worship God and to hear and to learn more, to hear His Word preached. Even if it's a subject that we know, that repetition, it strengthens us. We need to hear God's Word. And we need to be teaching what we know to other people. The preeminence of Jesus Christ. More important than anything else. That's something that we need to teach others about. You know, for some, and I don't mean this in a derogatory way, but it's an observation. How many Christians could you apply, it's an old-fashioned term now, oh, they're sunshine patriots. Yeah, they're all gung-ho when things are good, but when things are tough, they're nowhere to be found. Or, yeah, Jesus is important to them until football season comes. Or whatever comes around. Not to say that, folks, we can't have and enjoy other things in our lives, we can. But what I'm saying is Jesus needs to be the most important thing in our hearts. That's a choice we make, to make Him the preeminent. Now, He is regardless of the choices we make. But we choose to make Him preeminent in our lives. And today I want us to, I guess maybe I'll start what I'll call a series. I want to look at the preeminence of Jesus Christ as we find them in the I Am statements of the Bible. I am. I want to look at that this morning. You know, when we hear that term, I am, we immediately think of the Lord God speaking to Moses. And we find that in Exodus 3:14. The Lord Himself spoke to Moses and He used this term. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And He said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. See, there is no ability to define God in total. I am, it surpasses all things. He is greater than all physical creation that He made. He is beyond our ability to fully understand. The only way you can approach to describe Him is to say, I am. There is no beginning, there is no ending. He is ever present and He is greater than all things. I am. That's who God is. And if we go to the book of Isaiah, the Lord spoke through the prophet Isaiah to Israel and say, listen to me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. And that's important to remember, my called. I am He. I am the first. I am also the last. Indeed, My hand has laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand has stretched out the heavens. When I call to them, they stand up together. All of you, and this is speaking to us, all of you, assemble yourselves and hear. Who among you have declared these things? The Lord loves him. You see, folks, we're finding a declaration here from the Lord himself. God loves those people who share their faith, who talk openly about the good things that God has done, about his amazing attributes that we can't even put into proper words. Our Creator. I am, God said. I am the first and the last. And those words should sound familiar to you because Jesus said the same thing. In Revelations, we find this in Revelations chapter 1. And this is, of course, from the Apostle John. And he said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Write these things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. I am, is what Jesus says. And then in Revelations 22, verse 13, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. You see, Jesus and the Father are one. I am. That's who Jesus is. Too often in our modern day culture, Jesus gets reduced. He gets to be our best friend on a human scale. But he is the Lord Almighty. And yes, we should love him like a friend, like a brother, but we can never displace the fact that he is the one who created all things. He is our Creator. And he is above us. And all authority belongs to him, and we need to worship him knowing that he is God. And we are not. We are the sheep of his pasture because he allows it to be so. And praise him for it. He has called you and he knows you by name. Praise him for that. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Now, when we think about those words, and then we turn back to Colossians from the description that Paul gave, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. You see, he is preeminent. And we need to remember that when we think of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And again, I want to repeat our opening call to Scripture this morning as we go deeper. All authority is his. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And now our responsibility comes up. He gives us these commands. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You see, all three together, I am teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. So now let me ask a direct question. What things are you teaching to other people about Jesus? You know, what do you say to other people? Does it come to mind, any of the descriptions that Paul gave? His preeminence? You know, only you can answer that question. But I think that as a whole, we maybe have wandered off the right track a little bit because we don't teach about the preeminence of Jesus, the authority of Jesus that we should. And I think that's a worldly influence. But it starts first in our hearts. You see, we make a choice. Is he going to be preeminent? And are we going to live a life that reflects that? Or at least attempt to? I pray that we will. Now, I said I want to start a series, and if that's where the Lord leads me, then that's what I will do. Pray for me that I always follow where I feel like he's speaking to me in my heart to do what he tells me. The seven I am statements of Jesus is now as we think about I am in the background that we just have. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. You see, those I am statements, they're there. I am, just like God the Father had said. And today I want to start with the very first one. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Now this is a very familiar passage to all of us. How often do you think about it? How much have you studied this and delved deeper into it, the bread of life, the meaning of it? He is the bread of life. But I just want to give a little context here. In the Old Testament, when I say the context, when Jesus spoke these things to the people and the crowds that were around him, thinking for a moment of their mindset and their historical experiences, what would those words have meant to them, to the people in the crowd that he spoke to? You see, in the Old Testament, they knew the stories of when the Israelites wandered in the desert. God sent manna, that bread from heaven, and it fed and sustained them as they wandered. But that daily bread only fed them for the day. But it was essential. They had to have it. They would have died and they would have perished. And so there's a great analogy there. God's children need to be fed daily. We need this bread, but we need that bread that gives eternal life. And that's what Jesus is saying. So let's delve in now a little deeper into the background of when Jesus was giving this. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 6, as we go further back, I'm not going to read all this, but I'm going to start in verse 25 in just a moment. But he had just fed the 5,000 people. And then after feeding all 5,000 people, he sent the disciples to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And he stayed behind and he prayed. And then in the middle of the night, he walked on the water for the second time that we find recorded in the Bible. Jesus walked on the water. And he met the disciples, and then they were immediately on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And then that's where our text will start here. Gospel of John chapter 6, verses 25. And so we're going to stop and we're going to read and we're going to stop and make comments as we go through our text this morning. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? And see, the people were seeking after him, the people that he had fed the previous day. And Jesus answered and said to them, Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. So it brings a question to mind immediately. Folks, what do we hunger for? See, Jesus made an important statement. You saw the signs. When we see God's Word, when we read God's Word, when we hear God's Word, when we see blessings in our lives, these are signs, folks. Do they take preeminence in our life? Do they give us cause to praise God and to want to worship Him? Is that the impetus that we need in our life to worship Him? And He tells them, starting verse 27, Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set His seal on Him. There again, signifying who Jesus Christ is. Then they said to him, What shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Now, it's easy to gloss over that statement, isn't it? But it's an important statement. And I hope it gives you enthusiasm and it strengthens you. It makes you thankful. This is the work of God. The people are asking, what do we have to do? And Jesus is saying, well, this is the work of God. That you believe in Him who He sent. How is it that we believe? And this is why you should be thankful, because it's preached constantly in those who believe in sovereign grace. In Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is a gift, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. How can we do these works of God without faith? And where does our faith come from? It comes from the Lord Himself. And He gives us faith for a reason. It's to do these good works, folks. I'm not reading the rest of Ephesians, but I preach that quite often. To do the good works that you were created to do. You see, it comes from the Lord. So we need to be thankful for that. Because you know Him. He's revealed Himself to you. The faith to believe. But see, this created a problem for the crowd that Jesus was talking to. Because for the Jewish person, the average Jewish person at the time, they were living in an impressive culture. They were occupied by the Romans. The Pharisees, their religious hierarchies, took advantage of them, were very difficult. They were constantly harsh. It was a difficult time. But yet they believed the law, but they thought that's all they had to do. They didn't want anything else. You see, it's that human nature that comes back welling up within us that, my salvation, I can earn it by doing these good things. But we know that's not true. And God has revealed it to us. It is by grace that we have the gift of faith. And through faith in Jesus Christ do we have salvation. And Jesus has started to explain these things to them. And they have seen the signs and they should have believed. And God did reveal it to some people. But for many of them, He did not. You see, their main problem was they were what? They were focused on the desire for more food and nothing else. Christ wasn't preeminent in their life, or seeking spiritually, I should say, the preeminent thing in their life. No, they wanted to feed their, like all of us. We get hungry, yeah, that's a pretty strong desire. That was what was most important, though, the things of the world. And second, they were so focused on this that they were conveniently ignoring the signs they had just saw, the feeding from the days before, and they claimed they needed another sign to believe. Well, one sign's not enough. I need more proof. But this was basically a subterfuge, because it was a way to trick Jesus, to try to tempt Him. Just like Satan did, turn these stones into bread. Well, the people are saying, feed me once again. See, let's read verse 30. And they said, therefore they said to Him, what sign will you give, perform then, that we may see and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Why didn't they just recall what He had done the day before? Feeding more than 5,000 people, that was the men. That didn't count the children and the women. He fed them all. And Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you bread from heaven, but My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to Him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to Me shall never hunger, and he who believes in Me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen Me, and you do not believe. And there I hope you start being a little more thankful again for that faith that you have to believe. All that the Father gives Me will come to Me. And no one who comes to Me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do My own will, but the will of Him who sent Me. This is the will of the Father who sent Me, that of all He has given Me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of Him who sent Me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. You see, the people that were there, they had this opportunity to see Jesus physically here on this earth. We see Jesus through the hearing and preaching and reading of His Word, through the faith that He has given us. But it's more than that, folks. Look at what Kimberly shared with us this morning, the answer to the prayer for that man. Look at Jimmy Bartlett, who lived so much further, lived so much longer. Look at the blessings that have come on people we have prayed for. Yes, there have been people that passed on, but those people were healed. Be it in this life or in the next, God's children are healed through Jesus Christ. Are we thankful for it? You see, we see Jesus in every aspect of our lives, and we need to be thankful for that. Then the Jews complained about him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? Well, these folks that are complaining have seen the signs. They've seen people healed. They've seen blind people born from birth who had their vision given to them. They've seen all sorts of miracles. They sought him to be the recipients of another miracle. Yeah, they wanted food, but that's all they cared about. And they're complaining because he made this comment. You see, suddenly, it's contradictory now to what the hierarchy wants the crowds to hear. They don't want the crowds to hear anything else other that may threaten their control. The Jews complained about them. In verse 43, Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at that last day. Folks, again, this is repetitious. What did we read in Isaiah? God said, those whom I called. And we find it again here in the New Testament, who I called. God calls His people because you are precious in His sight. He sent Jesus Christ to die for you because you are precious in His sight. He gives you faith to know and believe and understand because you are precious in His sight. Don't believe those lies of the world, because when we have a struggle, like these people who were hungry, oh, God doesn't care. You are precious in His sight. And when we have the right perspective, to thank God for every breath, we can be fed with that heavenly manna through His Word. And we need to be focusing on that bread of life, who is Jesus Christ. Because God is calling you to have faith in Him. And He's given you that faith. And He says, all that the Father who sent me, I will raise him up at the last day. Be thankful that you are among those whom God is calling. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God. And of course, Jesus is talking about himself. You could say, he says, he has seen the Father. We could say, I have seen the Father, speaking of Jesus. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. When we focus on the worldly things, folks, it's temporary. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is a bread which comes down from heaven, that the one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Of course, he's talking about the crucifixion that's about to come. The people didn't know that. But the people were given signs to believe. I am the bread of life. Now, folks, for me and for you, we make a choice every day, don't we? What are we going to feed ourselves? Are we going to feed ourselves what the world wants to give us? Are we going to feed ourselves spiritually from the Word of God? Are you going to eat junk food? Are you going to eat healthy food? The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give his flesh to eat?" They were so blinded. And Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your father ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever." So, again, I want you to focus for just a moment. What is the most important thing in your life? Is it Jesus Christ? Only you can answer that. And only you can correct it if it's not. And if it is, only you can thank God for that opening your mind to realize it. And worship Him continually. And say, "Lord, help me to keep your commandments that you have told us to go and teach others about." You see, we're constantly living in a world, and this is a struggle. We're constantly living in a world that tells us all the things that we need to be happy. All the things that we need to do. 5 easy steps to such and such. But most of those things that the world tells us that we need to be doing are contrary to the Word of God. And as a believer, we need to be aware. We can never be fully satisfied by the world, because the world does not feed the soul. It only feeds the body. The only way we can be completely filled is through God's Word and obedience to it, because as God's children, we are spiritual people, and we need to feed our souls. And we do that through God's Word. Now, to close for just a moment, Jesus said, "I am." He's greater and above all things. He has made that statement, and He has also made the statement that "I am with you always." So you should have faith and you should have confidence to live the life that the Lord has given to you. How will you live it? Well, for the believer, we need to do it through God's Word and obedience to it. So to summarize, God's Word. Take this with us daily. God's Word. Jesus said, "I and my Father are one." In John 6, "Most assuredly I say unto you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life." And then in Acts, "Nor is there salvation in any other name, for there is no other name under heaven given among men which we must be saved. That name is Jesus Christ." So I asked the question early on, what are you teaching to other people about Jesus Christ? Here's 3 summary points right here. I and my Father am one. I am the bread of life. And there's no other name given among men which people can be saved by except Jesus Christ. You see, that's God's Word. Now, are you obedient to it? Are you feasting off this bread of life that He has given us and being obedient to the commandments that come with it? Matthew chapter 4, it is written, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." You see, that's what Jesus told to Satan when he was being tempted. And that's what we need to revert to when we have our struggles, when we have our trials, when we're tempted. And we all are. No, these physical things in life, yes, they're blessings. They're wonderful. They're great. They sustain us for a mere moment. We need to live by every word of God. It should be preeminent in our life. Only you can make that decision. And only you can tell somebody else that. You see, we teach other people through the life that we live and the way we walk. We have to walk the walk, not just talk the talk. Be obedient to God's word. Obedience. Now think about this. Matthew chapter 26, here at the Last Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remissions of sin." And Jesus said similar words back when he was telling the Jewish crowd that I am the bread of life, and you must eat the flesh of my body and drink the blood. Well, here it is, right here. Now see, we have been obedient when we take communion, don't we? But when I said a little earlier, this was also a thought that I had, that so many people want to go to church, hear about church, maybe participate in communion, but they don't want to follow through and be baptized. Or they don't want to be a member of a church. You see, there is some obedience that's required on us for God's word. If you know people that have not been baptized, maybe God will use you to speak to them. You see, we need to be teaching others. But they need to hear it. They need to hear this is what Jesus taught. Remember our opening statement? Go into all nations, making disciples, teaching them all commands I have observed you, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, folks, they need to hear it from us. They need to hear it from you. Are we being obedient? Again, I just paraphrased it, but what Jesus said, all authority has been given me. And we need to go and teach other people to be obedient to His word. And that Jesus has authority in our lives. So, let me ask you, as we close here, do you hunger for the bread of life? Do you hunger to hear God's word? Do you want to know more about Jesus as we sang, I want to love you more? Is that the hunger that's in you? Thank God if it is, because He put that desire in your life. If the desire is there, we got to take the next step. You know, there's steps to get up here to the top. You got to take each one. So the next step, if you have that desire, is to be obedient and to teach others about Jesus Christ. Because there are people that want to hear. And remember, no matter where you are in your spiritual journey, Jesus also said the following, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." God just might use you to fill that hunger in their life. When you teach somebody else about what you have been taught, about the commandments that God has given, about how good Jesus Christ has been to you. Go and teach other people. Tell them about your Lord and Savior in Jesus Christ. And I pray that the descriptions that we read of who Jesus is might inspire you to recognize how great is our God. May the Lord add His blessings is my prayer. Brother Mark.